options, I got a bit lost. So I'm a little angry with Pastor Dave, I have to confess, because thanks to, you guys can sit down, you might as well, settle in, I'm about to have a whinge. Thanks to his excellent preaching, I've started to do something again that I absolutely hate, which is running. I'm an intermittent runner, which means basically that I run during daylight savings and then I hibernate over the winter. But because Dave has chosen to preach this great series on running your race in the middle of winter, I have been forced to run in the cold. So thanks for that, Dave. Thanks. I really appreciate it. And as inspired as I have been, I'm also going to be preaching on that passage in Hebrews that we've been looking at. And I'm going to be preaching on something that I've really rediscovered through my latest running adventures, which is the pain barrier. So talking about two of my least favourite things tonight, running and pain, and the relationship between the two of them. You guys can sit down if you like, it's beautiful, but I'm fine up here on my own. Let me pray first. Let's do that first. Thank you, God, for inviting us to learn from you, that we each get to have a personal relationship with you when we get to experience your word, which is living and active, Father. I pray that tonight, as we gather around your word, that every heart would be open, that I wouldn't say anything stupid, and God, that we would all walk away from this with a little bit more endurance and a little bit more desire to fall into step with your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So let's read these verses. I'm sure you all know them off by heart, but just in case. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the thing about running, as I am rediscovering, no matter how good your intentions are and no matter how committed you are when you first start out and no matter what awesome playlist you found on Spotify, at some point you will encounter pain. And depending on how long your hibernation period has been, like for me in my first recent run, it was about within the first 7 seconds. Yeah? But as you start to learn to push through that, you can stretch it out a little bit more. So Paul wrote, just after that passage I just read out, he wrote, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." In other words, you have not hit the pain barrier yet. You haven't got there yet. But if you haven't experienced it yet, rest assured you will. So the pain barrier is the point where the discomfort of your run or the discomfort of your season becomes greater than your desire to continue, where you start to question the reasons why you actually set out and you start to think, oh, it would be actually be so much nicer and so much easier to just stop what I'm doing and do something else. Again, like 7 seconds in, yeah? The pain barrier comes when you want to stop running or trying or believing or risking or testing your comfort zone. In our brain, pain is one of the things that our amygdala is responsible for, so that's our brain's smoke alarm. It's like it signals when we go into fight or flight, and I'm really simplifying this, and I can see Daniel judging me, but that's fine, I'm simplifying. So pain tells us that we need to decide fight or flight, and so when we get to that pain barrier, that's when we're going, do I need to push through this, or can I just run away? Pain barrier is a moment in your relationship where you'd rather walk away than forgive one more time. The pain barrier is the moment when you choose a safe, small life because the dreams that God has given you look too risky. The pain barrier is the moment you're forced to make a choice. It is comfort or conviction, the flesh or the spirit, instant gratification or eternal reward. The pain barrier represents a limitation. The pain barrier tells you this far and no further. You've done enough. Bow out of your race and rest. The pain barrier says it's okay to be a spectator. Just watch everybody else go on past. You can cheer them on even. But A little bit further back in Hebrews 10, verses 36 to 39, Paul wrote, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, and my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in those in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and who are saved." Dave spoke this morning about the right to choice. And the pain barrier is the moment when we are forced to make that choice, when we have to choose whether we belong to those who shrink back or those who overcome. There are no other people mentioned in that verse. There are either the shrinkers backers or those who push through the pain barrier. You have to belong to one of those groups. There's no middle ground. We are called to live on the other side of the pain barrier. We are not called to live a limited life, a life that is this far and no further. We are called to live on the other side. But to get there, and the first point is to get there, you have to embrace the pain. Yep. Yes. You cannot get to the other side of the pain barrier without being willing to feel pain. Sorry. There's no way around it. I've tried. There's really no way around it. You have to stick it out. There's a purpose in the pain. My purpose, I run so I can eat. I'm not one of these people who is really passionate about being super healthy. I've got to a point in my life where I have one more year of my 20s left. One more year of my 20s, that is, Daniel, not my 30s. Daniel accused me of being 39 the other day. It's very rude. It's fine. I'm at that point where I cannot rely on my body to just consume whatever it wants and nothing to happen. I now have to do something. And I can't go to the gym because there are a whole lot of people at the gym who like going to the gym, and I'm afraid of those people. So I can't go to the gym. My favourite way to exercise is that gross, sweaty, hot yoga. But the classes go for an hour and a half, and they're always on when I have to be at work. So I can't do that either. I can't cycle because Dave said this morning that people throw Subway at you. And I hate Subway and Lycra. And so that's out. And so I need something that's free, that I don't have to leave my house for, and no one's going to throw Subway at me. So I run in the dark, basically. Yeah, yep, it's good. So I run so I can eat, not so I can be fit and healthy. That's my purpose in the pain. You need to know why you're doing it. Most of the time in running, pain actually comes from growth. It's muscles developing strength, and they do that by getting tiny little tears and repairing themselves, and that's how they become stronger. And so when you're in pain when you run, it's because your muscles are doing what they're supposed to do. It's development, it's progress, and it's strength. A psalm that I have forgotten to write the reference for here. Oh, no, it's not a psalm. It's the next part of this passage in Hebrews. "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?" Not mine, that's for sure. They're definitely disciplined, often. "If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a short while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for good, in order that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So Paul writes that we should endure hardship and discipline, which he points out is painful. Thank you, Captain Obvious. However, it is important here to note the link that Paul makes between the discipline of God and the legitimacy that we have as his children. Discipline means legitimacy. That's what it's only through accepting his discipline that you become a true son or a true daughter. It's by submitting to discipline that we declare ourselves to belong to our Father. Everyone is a true son or daughter of God, but in order to live in the legitimacy of that claim, you have to live according to that discipline. So what does the discipline of God look like? Surrender and repentance. giving him your past and trusting him with your future, surrendering your pain and repenting of your failure. Number two, there is freedom beyond pain barrier. The most fun I've ever had running, and I use the term fun very loosely, like the loosest, like when I say fun, I mean like this isn't the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Quite. Well, there's a whole other pain barrier that we won't get into. Deliberately left that one out. The most fun I've ever had while running is the times where I've really, really wanted to stop, but I haven't. When I was convinced that I was about to die, but I have pushed through, is when I finally hit my rhythm as a runner. Because there comes a point where you stop thinking about, once you decide that it doesn't actually matter, that your whole body hurts and that you want to die, once you've kind of put that out of your mind and you decided you're just going to keep going anyway, you stop thinking about it. But it's only up until you make that decision that you're 100% focused on wanting to stop. Once you go, oh, that actually doesn't matter, I can live through this, then you have some freedom. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. Once you have pushed through that barrier, there is so much freedom. As in Isaiah 40, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no man can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What is it that makes you weary when you run? What is it that makes you feel faint? It could be finances, family, conflict, our mental health, our fears about the future. It's often a sense of inadequacy or comparison with the people around you that actually make us feel faint and feel weary and feel like there's no point taking another step and it would be better for me to stop here than to push through this pain barrier. But the discipline of God is what frees us from that weariness. It's in surrendering to him and accepting his discipline, in building that muscle, that we find freedom. Matthew 28:30. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." We equate rest with stopping. When we hit the pain barrier, we want to stop. Jesus equates rest with moving, with continuing to move through something. He says, "Walk with me and work with me." At no point does he say, "Stop what you're doing, have a rest." In the kingdom of God, rest doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you bow out of the race. It means that you do it in his rhythm. It means you do it in his strength. All right. Now I've already confessed my hatred of the gym, but my next point is strengthen your feeble arms. And it's in the Bible. Hebrews 12:12 says, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees." Clearly I'm an expert on this. The only way to build muscle is to exercise it. And similarly, the only way for us to build faith is to exercise it. If you want to strengthen feeble arms, you need to build physical discipline in your life. You need to often and repeatedly lift heavy things. I choose my children. That's my strengthening my feeble arms. It actually sounds horrendous, doesn't it? Just lifting heavy things for the sake of strengthening feeble arms. I don't know, there's probably people in this room that do that, but more power to you. If you want to strengthen faith, you can tell I'm really passionate about physical exercise, yeah? God is really working on me with this metaphor. If you want to strengthen your faith, you need to build spiritual discipline in your life. You need to undertake prayer and fasting. You need to worship. You need to study the Word, and not occasionally, but regularly and repeatedly. Jesus called the Word of God our daily bread, not the Subway that gets thrown at you while you exercise. If you are serious about your feeble arms, you probably want a personal trainer, not me. to talk you through what heavy things to lift, because I would be like, what is the minimum you could possibly do? You want someone who knows about strengthening feeble arms to tell you how heavy the heavy things should be and when and what you should do with them. If you're serious about getting past the pain barrier in your spiritual life, get a mentor. Get someone who will actually keep you accountable, who will look at your life and say, you know what, that's got to go, or you actually need to pick up your game in this area, or you know what, I've been praying for you and this is the word that God has given me. Get someone in your life who will spot for you. Not just, don't rely on your own strength, because you can't be your own personal trainer. Trust me, it's not working for me. Often and repeatedly go to the presence of God and strengthen those feeble arms. It's only a short one tonight, so if the bands want to come up, I'm going to wrap up with point number 4. To get through the pain barrier, you need to set yourself up for success. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather heal. Make plans. This is my favourite one because I am actually quite good at this. Set yourself up for success. Make some plans. The pain barrier is not a surprise. If you are doing it right, it is a natural and predictable part of exercise. Any kind of endurance exercise, whether you're running or out on your bike, dodging, flying subway, the pain barrier will come and you should not be surprised by it. If you know what is coming, you can prepare for it. You can prepare for breakthrough. Don't try and figure out how to handle the pain while you're in the midst of the pain. I don't want to be wanting to stop going, oh, how can I keep going? I want to have decided at the outset how I will respond to that when I get to that point. You need to decide in the light what you will do in the darkness. If you struggle in a particular area, you need to have a plan to avoid the traps of the enemy. And when I say if you struggle in a particular area, that's true for all of us, when you struggle in the particular areas that you know you struggle in. Don't put yourself in situations where you know it'll be really difficult for you to make a godly choice. Plan to live a free life. Plan to live a life of surrender. Plan to live a life beyond the pain barrier by deciding how you will respond before you have to. Do you know what? When I'm faced with a decision to get drawn into conflict, I plan how I'm going to get out of that. I plan how I'm going to walk away and deal with that when in a good way, in a healthy way. When I'm faced with situations where I've got friends or people in my life who are tearing each other down and having a negativity party or a pity party, I plan how I'm going to actually speak life. How I'm going to lift people up and lift that situation. Because I'm submitted to God, not to the dominant mood in that room, not to what they expect from me. I've already decided before I go into that situation who I am and what that means. And you know what? Those choices can be really painful in the moment when everybody else is doing one thing. And you know you have to do the opposite thing. That's a painful choice. It can be so much easier for us to just fit in and just do the easy thing. But on the other side of that painful choice is freedom. Paul wrote that no discipline seems pleasant at the time but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider the pain barrier that he pushed through in order to bring you into his family. Fix your eyes on his love so that you will not become weary and lose heart. Pain only presents a significant barrier when we are weary or we lose heart. The pain barrier is the border between your comfort zone and your life of freedom. It's the opportunity to choose that Dave spoke about this morning. Will you follow Jesus into freedom, or will you belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed? Will you fight, or do you choose flight? Let me pray for you, and then I'm going to hand over to the band. But there's another choice that we always give time for in our services. which is the choice to say yes to Jesus, the choice that actually allows us to be empowered to push through that pain barrier into the freedom beyond. And I really want, while the band is leading us, for us to really look at our lives and look at what the limitations are that you're coming up against, the times in your life where you're feeling that this far and no further. Because I feel like tonight, Jesus is wanting us to smash through some pain barriers. There are some people here that need to step into freedom, to no longer live a life that goes this far and no further, to no longer live a life where they want to turn back or they want to shrink back. So the band is going to lead us. I'm going to pray for you, and then in a moment I'm going to come back and ask some questions. Father God, thank you for a life of freedom that you call us into. Thank you that pain was no barrier to you when you went to save our lives, when you went to save our souls, God. That for the joy set before you, which is relationship with us, you endured the greatest pain that any of us can imagine. I pray that as people are listening tonight, as their spirits are quickening, God, that they will feel called to step into that freedom, that they will feel brave enough to push beyond that pain barrier, Lord. Thank you that you don't call us to live a life to this far and no further. In Jesus' name, amen.